Welcome back to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. We're coming to you live from BrewDog Outpost in Cleveland for 2022 All-Star Weekend. And we got a legend, a young legend in the building with us. He was a National Player of the Year 2021 coming out of Illinois, Chicago Bulls rookie. IU Dusamer, what's up, Chief?
Appreciate you, man. Thank y'all for having me. How you chilling? All-Star Weekend, Cleveland, you know, having a ball.
So first things first, I got to ask you, you played in the Rising Stars game, had the finger injury. How is it for all the Bulls fans out there? Want to make sure you're okay, ready to go?
Oh, yeah, I'm straight. This is a finger jam. Try to chase down a block, hit my finger on the rim, but it'll be cool. Most important, having fun, you know, making memories, building relationships, you know, relationships that go long time from now. And
The Rising Stars, they switched it up. They had four teams playing, came with the new format. I know it was your first time playing in the game, but did you like the way that the format was?
Yeah, I think it was cool. I think it made the game more competitive. But I think the next year, or my opinion, is to make the score even lower. So then I think it make it more competitive right away. You know, you come in and have fun, but at the end of the day, you want to compete against the best. But it was cool for it being a 75th anniversary. It was a great idea.
So that's what that was. It was four teams, right? Because
yeah.
I knew I'd seen four different jerseys. I knew I wasn't tripping.
Yeah. All right, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Four teams, then they did the first game to 50, second game to 25 for the 75th anniversary.
So what's your biggest takeaway from All-Star Weekend? It's obviously your first All-Star Weekend experience as an NBA player. What's been the funnest part? What's been the part that, you know, you would change if you could? Like, what's that whole experience been like?
I would say the funnest part is, you know, being able to come on podcasts like this, build relationships, experience all the stuff that, you know, you normally wouldn't be able to typically experience. That's what's been the most fun for me.
This is the time that you gotta enjoy All-Star Weekend.
Exactly.
This, your second year, your third year. After that, you know, once you start tapping into your ability, you don't wanna have fun no more, because you know, you're gonna get here, you're gonna be thinking about the second half of the season. Right?
Yep.
I need to get ready for the second half of the season. So, like, now you're not really enjoying this because you're already, you know, trying to get ready for the second half of the season, make the playoffs push and all that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, like, this is like that little mental break. So, it's like, while you're still young, you just enjoy it. Just enjoy the process, the whole element of it. You know, meet those contacts, meet those vets, you know, try to get some game from them.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then,
sure.
you know. Later on in your career, you will understand why, you enjoying this moment. Because once you start moving, it becomes such a machine-like process that you will forget to enjoy that process moving forward. You're just gonna be like, all right, I gotta wake up, work out, train, go to sleep, work out, train, play, score 50, go on a play. You know, it becomes like your machine.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely.
So you're a Chicago basketball legend, young, but you got a big name, did a lot of good stuff. I want to take it back to your high school days.
Yep.
I know you and THT, y'all used to have some epic battles. I was watching the YouTube kind of prepping for this thing. So what do you remember about those times, and how cool is it for you to see somebody else, a fellow Chicago native, in the league too, doing big things like yourself?
I mean, it was great. Those battles was always great because, you know, in Chicago, it's so much talent that don't get to make it out that – each and every night, it was a dogfight. And, you know, those battles we had back then with Simeon and THT, it was some fun battles. And, you know, anytime I see somebody from Chicago, you know, providing for their family, doing what they love to do at a high level, I always give kudos and I always root for them.
So you were National Player of the Year 2021. You get to the draft, you fall to the second round.
Yeah.
How much has that motivated you this season to come out and just bust dude's ass and show that you deserve to be a first-round pick?
I mean, definitely, each and every game, it's always motivation. You know, as long as I play in the league, I think it always will be motivation, because that feeling, you know, that I had after the draft, it always will stick with me. And I always play with that edge, that competitive spirit, because I understand that I have a chip on my shoulder and I got to show it each and every time I go out there.
Yeah, that was the same with me. I came out thinking I was about to be a top 15 and going the second round. And, you know, that pain. Like, you know, people don't understand. That pain changes.
No, it does.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, sometimes certain players do need the pain to turn into what they're supposed to be.
For sure.
The fact that you're still doing what you're doing. You know what I mean? You're out there performing. You have an advantage. You do have an advantage because you get to play against two high-level scorers.
Right.
Right? Early.
For sure.
So you get to pick all-stars, all NBA players' brains now.
Facts.
Versus, you know, trying to learn it on yourself. You get to forget all that, you know, mistake making on the court and really learn, really understand how DeMar scores.
Uh-huh.
You know, you'd be like, man, he's so slow. How does he get to the basket?
Yeah.
So you get to learn all those tricks in practice, game. So when it's time for you to turn over, you have all the tools already. Like sometimes, you know, playing and then sometimes watching and learning and practicing. Like you got to remember, you're practicing against that all-star every single practice. You're playing against that person every single Hall of Famer. You get into practice with them every single day, which turns you into one.
For sure.
So, second round, but you go to the Bulls, hometown squad. Was that a cool feeling for you to know that you're going to be able to stay home and get to play with a team you grew up watching?
Yeah, definitely. It was a blessing. I think it was definitely a blessing in disguise, me being able to, you know, come play for my hometown, see my family. You know, with the NBA season, it can get long. It can get tedious, definitely. So just having days where I could just chill, you know, see my family reset, that's a blessing also. So being able to come to the Bulls and, you know, play for my hometown and while also having a competitive spirit and having that chip on my shoulder, it's fun.
You know, that mental support sometimes that, you know, like NBA players, you know, don't have when they first get in. You know what I mean? You know, when you go to a city that you don't know, you don't have no friends, you don't, you know, sometimes mentally it can
get
with you. But,
sure.
You know, when you're at home, you got your support. Nah, baby, you're going to be all right. Yeah, just keep going. Like, it helps, you know, in that first couple, 2 years.
For sure.
You got your family out here, too. Mom was here taking photos before we started the show. You got a lot of people even here with you right now. How do you deal with kind of just the issue of giving people tickets? I know you got a lot of friends and family. Everybody want to pull up the game to support. So how do you judge how you dole out the tickets to games and stuff?
Yeah, so, you know, when I went to Illinois, my family would just ride down there. It was like an hour, 25 minutes. So basically the same 5-6 people came to all those games. So now NBA just made it easier. My dad, my brother, they just keep it cool. Those 5-6 people come. You know, every now and then if I have extra tickets, I got a list, I just give it out accordingly. But on a nightly basis, you know, my family understands that it's not a lot of tickets to really be given out.
Sure, I'm sure they were like, when the Lakers come to town or the Nets.
Yeah, so
it's like everybody want a ticket, but then like the Magic, everybody like,
they don't want to go to.
I got things to do that night.
They don't want to go to them games.
What's been the toughest adjustment for you coming from, you know, playing 3 years of college now to being a rookie in the NBA?
I would say the fact that, you know, the NBA, every night, you know, you're guarding someone at a high level. Regarding someone who's looking to, you know, prove something, who's looking to showcase why they're one of the best in the NBA. Everyone has an agenda. Some guys are all-NBA second team. They want to make the all-NBA first team. Some guys are borderline all-stars. They want to be all-stars. So, you know, me being a rookie, off the bat, when they see me, they get excited. So having that mental capacity to bring it every night, each and every night, each and every game. That's probably been the biggest adjustment that I've been accustomed to.
Coming out of college, playing in the NBA, practicing is a little different, right? You're like, damn, when, y'all don't practice like
exactly.
that? Right?
Then when them games come, it's like.
There's so many games that people don't understand that because we're moving so fast, we don't practice that much.
You know.
So, like, you got to have that inner want. You know, you got to have the inner want to just want to be great because you can have a game today, tomorrow, have a day off, then two games, and that day off, you're like, I'm resting. You know, I'm resting. And then half the season went by. You only practice like 6 times as a team.
Facts.
Not understanding that if you take that time, you far behind. You need to learn how to, like, you have so much time in your day that you need to actually carve out your practice schedules for yourself.
Definitely.
Just to get better. And that's kind of like a secret. Like, in the summer, we're all equal. I need to figure out how to catch you, so I'm going to try to catch you during the season.
Thanks.
So, you know, my workout schedule is like 3 times. So I'm going to work out in the morning before practice, then come back at night. And then the day before the game, I'm going to go through my practice routine, day off. Ain't no day off. I'm going to practice, and that's how I'm trying to catch my fellow foes. Because I know in the summer, everybody's going to practice 2-3 times a day.
Everybody go
so
work.
So I got to catch you during the season. You know what I mean? So it's like, I can rest in the summer. The season is workplace, so I'm just focused on my work.
For sure.
So what was your welcome to the NBA moment?
I would say probably it was early on. I wouldn't say I had one moment yet, but I remember, like, in college, like, I wasn't used to getting blew out a lot. And then I remember we went to Golden State. They beat us by, like, 35, 40. Just seeing them just beat on us like that, that hit fast for me.
Wait, no, so nobody gave you 50 yet?
Nah, not yet.
Damn, bro, they soft, bro.
Bro. Knock us some wood, man.
It's for real?
Yeah, not yet, man.
Oh, nah. Any rookie I see, bro, like, I don't care what's going on. I got to welcome you to the NBA. I'm gonna put you on the island, and then talk track. Hey, nah, y'all can't help the rook. No help side. He got to learn how to play this game by himself. Melo, T-Mac put 50 on him and told him, I'm putting 50 on you. Put him on the island. And then, you know, the vets is like, nah, we ain't going to help you, rook. You're going to have to learn how to. If you're going to be a star in this league, you got to learn how to stop your own man.
Yeah.
And that's how it was back then, because I remember I had to guard Gary Payton.
Uh-huh.
He gave me 18 quick ones. It was like 18 in like 5 minutes. That hurt so bad that when he started getting older, I'm trying to give him 40, 50 every single, just payback. You know what I mean? Because, you know, that's what it was. You know, you get that rude awakening, like, dang. Like, you finish a game like, yeah, that was, I didn't like that feeling.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah,
it's definitely been some tough. It's definitely been some tough coverage for sure. You know, the league, it's so much talent in the league, especially the guard position. So,
yeah.
You know, I just be trying to, you know, take it day by day, game by game, really.
Let's see, but that's what I said. Y'all don't have the Allen Iverson in the game.
Oh, for sure.
Like, that's what I said. Now, think about Allen Iverson, say a rookie on him.
Yeah.
Now you're trying to guard a man who's trying to score 50.
Yeah.
That's a whole different. Like, that's a whole different mindset going into that game. Like, he's trying to score 50.
Shot after
shot. And I got to guard him. And he coming hard. Then the next night, you got to go guard T-Mac. He's trying to score 50. Like, it's like one of those things where you sitting there for that week like, yeah, man. Like, telling your friends, like, nah, I can't talk to you today.
I can't talk to you. I'm good. Rest.
Like, I need to rest.
So, on the other side, what's the moment when you were like, okay, not only can I play in this league, but I'm going to be able to compete at a high level and I'm going to have a bright future in the game.
I always had the confidence, but, you know, the reassurance, I would say, like Gil said, you know, our team was always good. So in the summer, we always scrimmage. And, you know, I come out of the scrimmage just feeling good, you know, having those all-stars on our team and, you know, Caruso and Lonzo. We had a good team, so our scrimmages were always competitive and it always was – you know, trying to attack each other and trying to go at each other. So those scrimmages itself, I knew that, you know, I'd be, you know, finally just playing against each other.
Like, little secrets in the game, especially when you're younger, right? And you, like say you guard in, like, a Bradley Beal type, right?
Uh-huh.
You know he has green light, right? So to mess with him mentally, like, when he's on the weak side, you'd be like, swing it, I got him on me.
Uh-huh.
Like, you just start saying stuff that he's supposed to say to you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, I got, no, clear out. Ah. I used to do that all the time. They'd be like, so they'd be like, yo, who are you? Like,
all right.
With all this, like, you think you're going to score me? Like, yeah, you can't play no defense. Right? And I just used to do little stuff like that, like, to try to get my confidence up. You know what I mean? Because, you know, sometimes you lose confidence just playing against players. Like, this man get to shoot 20 times. Like,
I shoot 4-5.
I got to shoot 4-5. You know what I mean? So every time I touch it, or I just be, woo, I got a weak one on me. I got a weak one on me. And, you know, it's like one of those things where, you know, you're just trying to figure out how to build confidence from now until you do have that green light.
For sure.
Obviously, I know you love playing at home, but what's been, like, the coolest road arena for you to play at?
I would say Boston and then Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
Those would be my favorite two. Madison Square Garden get loud. But so far, I've been having good games at Boston, so I like their rims. They got some nice rims.
Yeah, you have some thoughts on MSG.
But he's saying it right. Like, that's like, see, everyone always says, yo, everyone loves to play in the Garden. Yes!
Yeah, for sure.
We all love playing in there.
Yeah.
Knicks don't. They don't want to play in there because they get booed by you. We get cheered, that vibe. It was so funny. It's a vibe for the opposing team.
Oh, it is.
It's a vibe for the opposing team. It's not a vibe for the home team. So, like, there's a reason that everyone puts up numbers.
They come with the A game.
You come with your A game because you know that if you come with your A game, the love, you're going to feel that. It's like Paid in Full when Mitch was like, yo, I just love it, man. I love when that light's on me. That's the feeling. When you go in there and that light's on you, you're like, yeah.
Feel good.
If I get that New York fan to cheer for me, man, I'm good. I made it.
So you joined the loaded Bulls backcourt, obviously, DeMar and Zach LaVine.
Yep.
What has that been like for you to be able to play with guys, you know, two all-star level guys, potential MVP level talents, you know, in your rookie season?
I mean, it's been a blessing, you know, being able to learn from them, pick their brains, just try to, you know, take as much as I can from them and incorporate it into my game because, you know, they're both so good in their own different ways. You know, Zach, he's very explosive. Of course, he's younger. He moves faster. But then DeMar, you know, he has the concept of the game mentally. It comes so slow to him. It's so smooth to him. So he has already, you know, went through the days like Zach where he was dunking every game and, you know, windmilling and, you know, playing like that. Now it's like he's at a point in his career where he's trying to maximize his body, his health, and also maximize his ways to be the best player on the court. So basically me just picking both of their brains because they're so good in their own ways, that's it's been a blessing for me.
Do you ever talk trash?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, this is so funny. It's like, I had to, like, in practice, I had to talk trash. So, like, you know, I had Larry Hughes.
Uh-huh.
Larry Hughes, first team all defense, right? So I always talk trash. Like, so even though we're in the same team, like, in practice, what I do is I was like, hey, man, coach, can you put Larry on the other team or put me on the other team so I can bust his ass, man? I don't think his defense is like that. Because now I need him to turn up because now I need to go against the best defender.
Right. They both
all the time. Yep. You know what I mean? I don't want, like, you know, this is my advantage. He's first team. I want to see what first team looks like when it has no rules. There's no referees. So that means he gets to do whatever he wants on defense.
Facts.
You know what I mean? He gets the whole pool. Like, he gets to do all that. So I get to learn it. I get to learn how to score on it. You know what I mean? So it made the games easier because he has no rules on defense. He's playing arch rivals out here.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it was it actually made the game easier for me.
So you and DeMar developed a relationship. He actually came when you got your jersey retired at the University of Illinois. He pulled up to support. What advice is he giving you about playing in the league on the court and also off the court?
He gave me a lot of advice on, you know, in the league of just basically just try to be a true professional. Not only that, but also learning that it's so many games. I remember one game he had like 40. We was playing in Orlando. He had like 45. We ended up losing, though. You know, of course, me, I'm like, damn, he had 45. We lost. I make a couple more threes. If I, you know, make a couple more plays, help him out, we would have won a game. And he just told me, like, it's a long season. You know, games come so fast. You can't dwell on one game. You got to move on to the next. And so, yeah, that's pretty much the best advice he gave me, just having that next play mentality, next game mentality.
So Zach was quoted recently saying that him and DeMar are the best duo in the league. Do you agree with that or do you disagree with that?
I mean, of course I agree with that.
I've got to add, got to make sure. So DeMar's now, I mean, he's been on that crazy 35-point-per-game run, like just doing obscene stuff.
Right.
I'm like, they are, though. It's like, when it comes to duos, yeah.
I mean, who's on that level right now?
No.
A lot of these other duos are kind of falling off or are kind of figuring their stuff out right now. So they run in the league. But like I said, DeMar's putting up, 35 on 50% shooting, just doing obscene stuff we haven't seen since Wilt. His name's not, you know, it's starting to get some buzz in the MVP race, but do you think DeMar currently is the best player in the league right now?
Yes, I think he's playing definitely the best way in the NBA, for sure. I mean, of course, you got some guys who are so good, they're automatically going to be there, like, you know, LeBron, KD, those guys. But what he has done for our team, you know, night in, night out, with guys out with injuries, got out with COVID, won five in a row. Anytime you do something that hasn't been done since Wilt, I mean, it's something that is good. So definitely, I think he's playing the best basketball right now in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be honest, I don't think he's getting enough credit because the fact that, you know, you lose Zach, you lose Caruso, or you lose the players that
Lonzo.
Everyone was counting on. You lose Zoe, and you're still keeping this team
right
to where they are. And I don't think like he's being appreciated for how he's kept this team above water.
I agree.
Above water, like you're still like it's
first in the East.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's like, yo, this He has younger guys with him. Like, so the fact that the younger guys got to get old fast.
And one thing I love about DeMar is his competitive spirit. Like, you know, he always wants to go out there and compete. Like, each and every game, each and every night. You know, he's not looking to make excuses. Who's ever out there, he's looking to compete. And when you see that from, you know, one of your vets, one of your leaders, that make the whole locker room, you know, want to go harder.
So we had DeMar on the show before the season started. And he's a guy, you know, we asked him about mid-range game versus three-pointers. You know, everybody now is big on taking threes, but he's like, look, I could do that, but I'd rather focus on the mid-range. Has that rubbed off on you at all or you know, in terms of your shooting style?
I mean, definitely, I try to incorporate that because I think all, you know, great scorers can score on all three levels. Mm-hmm. And I think that as long as you have it in your game, then whatever, you know, is comfortable, you bring it out. Like, if you look at any great scorers in the NBA, they all can, you know, get to the rack, they all can create their own shot, and they can shoot threes in mid-range. And he's in a point now in his career where he's efficient there, you know. 37 points on 60% shooting, that's a great shot. I think he's one of those great players where he doesn't have to just hoist up threes to be efficient. He can score at all three levels.
I want to talk quickly about Alex Caruso. I'm a big Caruso fan when he was with the Lakers. Went to the Bulls. Bulls fans initially were like, oh, Lakers fans are gassing Caruso up. He's not that nice. He whatever. But I think he's shown a lot of stuff. Obviously, I know he's been hurt. But what has it been like playing with a guy like Alex Caruso, a high IQ guy that also can do a lot of other things on the court?
He's been one of the vets that also has helped me, you know, come along fast, give me, you know, advice, give me different tricks on guarding guys. He just, you know, gave me that championship experience. And he's been a great guy for me to grab information from.
Yeah, you know, that's the biggest key about just, you know, where you are right now is just absorbing all that information.
Yeah.
Right? Like, understanding the faster you can learn the tricks. And then once, it's like, you got to remember, your ability is your ability.
Uh-huh.
Right? Now you're just trying to process all the information that's coming.
Right.
Take what you need, throw away what you don't need, and then turn into what you're supposed to be.
Right.
You know, and that's really the game of where you are right now, just trying to understand the process, understand what it's like to be a pro. Understand why this person is successful versus that person.
Right. Exactly.
You know, you've been in the league 3 years and you still, there's a reason, right? And you're trying to figure out, like, the role. Like, you got your own car, you got your own vision.
Definitely.
You're trying to, you know, you're just trying to navigate and just try to understand what everyone's doing. What makes this person great? What makes this person not successful? And then put your package out there when it's ready.
Definitely.
We're here at Cleveland All-Star Weekend. Want to know, what's been, like, the coolest celebrity sighting or somebody, you know, like, you know, I know you, Gil, said you saw Jay-Z and Beyonce when you was playing.
Sure.
And you were starstruck. Have you seen anybody you were just like, oh, man, it's been great to see you, this person in real life?
No, not yet. I'm pretty sure today.
Okay.
Dunk contest, three-point shootout, I'm pretty sure I'll see somebody.
Yeah, that's it. Come on, that's today and tomorrow, yeah, man.
But we've been out here, and, you know. You don't see him at the airport. Yeah, you might see him at the, you know, there's only like 5 spots to eat out here. So, you know, when you're walking around.
Not yet.
You excited to see? You hope he's going to be out here?
There's definitely some celebrities that, you know, I would like to see. Not one in particular, but of course, like Jay-Z, guys like that, you know, listen to their music. I want to see them in person.
For sure. What's so funny is you don't have a name until you see it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, you're celebrity, and they be like, oh, Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Joe, that's really him. That's the Rock. Yeah. You start doing stuff you don't normally do. Like, why did I just do that?
You got to go dap up Jay, say whatever to Beyonce, give her the hug. So, Bulls have been playing well this season, right? You've been at or in the discussion for the East whole season long. What goals do you guys set as a squad? Do you guys think a championship is attainable? Do you guys talk about that at all? Or how far do you think the squad can go this season?
I mean, yeah, of course. We talked about, you know, you have aspiration to win a championship. I think that's, you know, what every team in the NBA does, especially when you have a team like ours. But we understand that it takes steps. We have to continue to get better, continue to try to fix our mistakes, and continue to grow in our habits. And, of course, we understand if we do that, then we have an opportunity to what's at hand. But we got to take it, of course, game at a time and day at a time.
And then for yourself, obviously, more than half the season's over. You're getting ready for this back half now after the break. What are you focused on your game and on improving and just getting ready for now this playoff push?
I mean, I understand that the reality of it is we get closer to the playoffs, so of course there's going to be more teams pushing to make the playoffs. Like Gilbert said, there's going to be other stars who have their eyes on championships, so just me being a rookie, my level of detail, you know, getting that where it needs to be at, just getting myself prepared each and every game, being ready for guys. I'm pretty sure teams are going to try to take DeMar out the game, try to double him, you know, hedge him, just be there for him, be another playmaker for him, Zach, the team, and just try to make it easier for the guys to go out there, you know, make our team better.
Yeah, so, you know, like, you know, getting ready for the playoffs is, it's like it's like an advance in your game, right? Because you get to, everyone's coming harder now. The game is more intense. Then once you get to the playoffs, that scouting report is the size it is.
Everybody knows, right?
So everybody knows everything. So now that's when your natural ability kicks in. So that's where you really get to test where you are. Like when you're out there, remember, they know everything about the players that they know. So that means you get to be you.
Sure.
Right? Like you need the wild card. Don't be afraid to take the shots that you like I always tell like players that play with me, like, yo, don't be afraid to shoot shot that you think you can make.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I do pass you the ball, I'm expecting you to do something with it.
Right.
Passing that shit back to me is not an option.
Double,
I could have just kept it, bro. I could have just kept it through the double, right? But, you know, it's like, yo, have the confidence to shoot it. You know, so the more I see you going to make those plays, the more I'm going to like, yo, because if I'm getting double, I need you to relieve some of that pressure. You go out there and have 20, they can't double me no more. And now they got to worry about you. So, you know, when playoffs is coming, try to understand that this is the time to be aggressive too.
Right.
Be aggressive, make more plays, and, you know, really let them know, like, yo, when playoff time comes, y'all can count on me.
All right, for sure.
I hit you on this, but I got to know. Obviously, you played with the U18 Olympic squad, but your dad's a Nigerian immigrant, so you could have the option to play for the Nigerian team down the road. Is that something you would ever give some thought to, or are you just focused on making the USA squad?
I mean, it's definitely thought I would give to just my grandparents being from there, my dad being from there. So when it get closer, of course, you know, I think about that for sure.
So the answer's no. That man want that gold, bro.
He
want that gold.
Hey. He want that guaranteed. They're getting it, though. They not far off, bro. I'll just say that. They not far off.
You know, that's what I said. He played 18U on USA. So that means he's already in the pipeline for, you know, the big squad. So, you know, I'm going to call it backwards. Going backwards is, like, not an option at this point. You know what I mean? That man want that fast track to that goal, baby.
You already know. Well, look, man, we really appreciate you pulling up, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Then another episode of No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. We'll be back with more very soon.